Today's scripture reading, the sermon that I'm going to preach, is based off of Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. So turn in your Bibles to Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6, and hear the word of the Lord. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a voice. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your mercies and your grace, which are new every morning. We ask you that your word would be on my lips, Lord, that you would encourage us with this message today, that we would know in a more intimate way who you are and what you would have us do. Lord, we ask this with just thankful hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So fear is a funny thing, and we can be afraid of just about anything. If you go out and you talk to people and ask them what they're afraid of, they'll come up with all kinds of things. Spiders, snakes, clowns. People are afraid of heights. People are afraid of doing this kind of thing, public speaking. People are afraid of small spaces, claustrophobia, and the list really goes on and on. People are afraid of just about everything. Fear is ever present in our world. Sometimes we let other people know about our fears, what scares us, and other times we hide our fears deep within ourselves because we're afraid of what others will think of us. In today's sermon, we're going to look at fear as it relates to two things. First, we'll look at God's interaction with Abraham's fear. And second, we'll look at this interaction and how it applies to a fear that most of us, if not all of us, have of evangelism. Finally, we're going to take a look at Tim Keller and what he calls, or what I've called, his 10 simple tips for evangelism. Sound good? Yeah, let's dive in. Okay, so Abraham's life up to this point, if you go back and look at Genesis, Abraham's life is marked by both tremendous faith and also a good amount of fear. In faith, Abraham had answered God's call to leave his country and his father's household and his people. And in faith, when he and Lot were deciding which land they would live in, let Lot have the first choice. And in faith, and with only 318 men, he rescued Lot from the invading armies of, and I'm going to butcher this, but Chedorlaomer. In faith, also, after he rescues Lot, and the king of Sodom comes to him and offers him all the spoils of war, he refuses them because he knows that God has a better promise for him. Yet Abraham's life is also characterized by fear. In fear, when he and Sarah travel to Egypt, he lies and says, This is my sister, so that the Egyptians won't kill him to take his wife. And in fear, in today's passage, he looks towards the future and wonders, will I ever have a child? O Lord God, What will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham is wondering what reward God can give him since he has no child. He's afraid of dying without an heir. And though Abraham's life is marked by tremendous faith, he still struggles. And we'd all do well to remember this in our own lives. We can have great moments of faith where we're so close to God and we're riding high, and they'll be followed almost immediately by moments of doubt and fear. This is not uncommon in the Christian life. So don't be discouraged if you find yourself struggling with this. And it's amidst of this struggle that God confronts Abraham's fear. And he does this in two ways, right? First, he speaks directly to him, and he confronts him verbally. He says, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And second, God provides him with a visual illustration of this promise. He calls Abraham outside, and he tells him to look up at the sky. And he says, "Look towards the heaven and number the stars, if you're even able to number them. So shall your offspring be." I don't know about you, but I wonder when the last time you went outside and at night and looked at the stars. Astronomers estimate that in the Milky Way galaxy alone, there are some 100 million stars. That's a lot of stars. And for Abraham, that's a lot of offspring. There's a reason they say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Over time, the words we hear begin to fade. We lose track of them. But pictures are concrete promises of what once was. The other day on my Facebook feed, a picture popped up of Yogi, my dog. And he was just a little puppy. I mean, he was like this big. And it was when I was in seminary, and I was sitting there, and I had my Hebrew lexicon. And he was sitting by me, and we were both looking at the, you know, we were both looking at the camera. And right now, Yogi and I know about the same amount of Hebrew, right? Which is none. I don't remember any of the Hebrew. But that picture helped me remember Yogi as he was. It brought me right back to that moment sitting on the floor in our house in Glenside when I was in seminary 9 years ago. For Abraham, the stars were his picture. Every night after that encounter, even years later, he could look up at the stars and remember God's promise to him. So shall your offspring be. Another thing we see in this passage is that our fears often pop up and we often struggle with them because we don't know God's full plan. We have a limited plan of our own. And God's plan is much greater than our limited plan. And this often can lead to tension and fear as we struggle to come to rest in God's greater plan. In Abraham's case, he was afraid that he would die childless. Abraham's plan was small. He wanted to have a child. Who's my heir going to be so that my name can pass on? God's plan was much greater. In God's plan, not only would he be the father of the one child and his heir, Isaac, but Romans 4 tells us that God made him of all the faithful in all the world for all the ages to come. God's plan was much greater. And as Abraham heard God speak to him and saw his picture, we're told he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You see, the more we understand God's greater plan, the better able we are to fight the fear that besets us. And this brings us to our second point. All right. I'm going to ask everybody to close your eyes. Everybody got their eyes? No cheating now. I see who's got their eyes open. Look, my eyes are still open. Close your eyes. When I say the word evangelism, what do you think about? What images come into your mind? What emotions are you feeling? Maybe you're thinking about passages from a class you took years ago to help you better present the gospel. Maybe you're feeling your own sense of inadequacy, that you don't know what to share, what to say when you share your faith. Maybe you're worried about how others will respond to you when you start sharing your faith. Now, whatever you're thinking, I'm guessing that most of us here are experiencing some kind of fear and anxiety. Okay, you can open your eyes. Thank you for humoring me with that. It seems hard, doesn't it? We all know those one or two people who have the gift of evangelism. I shouldn't actually put that in quotes because it is a gift. They can't even seem to go to the post office without running into somebody and having a conversation with them about Jesus. But that's not you, is it? You don't have the gift of evangelism. Let me give you some encouragement this morning. Sharing your faith is not impossible. Anyone who has tasted and seen that God is good can do it. Do you know Jesus and how he has helped you? Has he been a comfort to you? If he has, you know enough to share your faith. Now, remember how we were talking earlier about fear and its relation to God's greater plan? When Abraham understood that he would not only have one child, but as many children as the stars in the sky, his fear subsided. Now, you may be asking yourself, how does this help us with evangelism? I know the first time I practiced this with Becca, that's exactly what she said and why I put this part in here. Because she was saying, how does this relate to evangelism? When God promises Abraham that he will have innumerable children, he's actually promising to help us when we evangelize. The innumerable children that Abraham will father in verse 5 are the same spiritual children that the Holy Spirit continues to create as we share the gospel today. Got that? Abraham is the father of all who believe and look to Christ in faith and repentance. So God promises Abraham, you will have innumerable children. That's God's promise. God doesn't change. His promise is secure. It's going to happen, right? Now, as we go out and share the gospel and share our faith with others, and the Holy Spirit uses the message of the gospel to bring people to Christ, those people are the children of Abraham, the innumerable children that he will have. So when God promises Abraham that he will father innumerable children, he is actually also promising to use us, you and you and you and you. I'm not going to go through and point to everybody, but everybody in here who's a Christian to bring people to him. The promise of God to Abraham continues as we share the gospel today, and the family of God continues to grow. If God is for us, who can be against us? And this should help us as we fight the fear of evangelism that we face today. Oftentimes, when we think about evangelism, we think of a full-on, formal gospel presentation, right? The Romans Road, evangelism explosion, the way of the master, right? Or some other manner that exists of leading a person through Scripture to the point where eventually they say a prayer of salvation and become a Christian, right? There's certainly a place for this type of evangelism in the church and in our lives, but I'm not convinced that it's always needed, that's the only way to evangelize people, that's the only way to share your faith. And Tim Keller gave a speech a while back. He was at the Lucene conference, and I kind of read across these tips, and I thought to myself, these are great tips, right? So I called him Tim Keller's 10 Simple Tips for Evangelism, and that's what I'm going to share with you guys right now. And I think, and you'll have to let me know afterwards, if they help us to share our faith. Not in the formal, full-on gospel presentation way, but in a way that helps us live as Christians in this world. All right, so 10 things. First, Tim Keller says that we should let people know that we're Christians in a natural and unforced way. We don't need to beat them over the head with scriptures. But at the same time, we shouldn't be afraid to let people know what we believe. The other month, we were camping up in central PA, and I happened to mention that I was a Christian to this couple that was camping next to us. And the next thing I know, I was praying for this guy's wife who had a brain tumor. And Becca and me and the kids have been invited to this guy's family reunion next year. Now, I'm not saying that this will happen every time you tell someone you're a Christian, but what I know to be true is that God does amazing things when we take the smallest steps of faith. Now, this guy was already a Christian, but the encouragement to my faith that it was amazing. Just to see God orchestrate and work this out. So that's the first one. The second one is that we should ask our non-believing friends about their faith. We can all do that, right? What do you actually believe? And just listen, he says. We don't need to say anything. We just need to listen. People believe all sorts of things. And I found that most people, they haven't really put much thought into what they believe. They just kind of go on through life. I used to know this guy named Tim. And he was a homeless guy. And he used to hang out at the liquor store where I worked. And we used to sit on this bench out in front of the liquor store and talk about life and, you know, talk about all kinds of things. Well, I must have heard him say 1,000 times, God is in you, and God is in me, and God is in everyone. And when I think about it, I can almost, like, hear him saying those things. I don't think that he ever came to faith before he died. But he certainly got the opportunity to share with me about what he believed. And by God's grace, eventually I shared with him several times about what I believe in the gospel. So, the first one, we should let people know we're Christians. The second one, that we should ask our non-believing friends about their faith and what they believe. Third, he says, and this is a huge one for me, it happens all the time, so I think it's really profound. Third, we should listen to our friends' problems and maybe offer to pray for them. This world is tough. Everywhere you go, people are struggling to get by. The other day, I called into my customer service department to place an order, and the girl who answered the phone, who's normally really upbeat and, you know, happy and, you know, just a pleasure to talk to, was flat. And I knew that something was wrong. And I did what any normal Christian would do in that circumstance. I thought to myself, I'm going to put my order in and hang up the phone because I don't know what she's going through, but I don't want any part of it. So I was getting ready to do that, and I got the slight nudge from the Holy Spirit. Offer to pray for her. And so I did. And I prayed for her. And it was like one of those prayers that's a Holy Spirit-empowered prayer, you know? And I never found out, and I don't know what she was going through or what she was struggling with, but I knew that prayer meant something to her. And it meant something to me, too, because by the end of that conversation, by the end of that phone call, I could tell that she was crying on the other line, and I was crying just to reach out and minister to this person. Fourth, he says that we can share our problems with others and testify to how our faith helps us with these problems. I struggle a lot with my identity. Anybody who knows me knows my identity and my work is probably my primary challenge. You see, the world of sales constantly wants to tell you that your worth is tied to how much you sell. There's a board, and they put your names on there. And if you're top of the board and you're selling a lot more than you sold last year, you're good. And if you're not selling a lot more than you sold last year, you're bad. I mean, that's what it is for me. And I have to remind myself on a continual basis and have other people remind me, other brothers and brothers, sisters in Christ, constantly speak the word of God into my life and tell me that my worth is not tied to how much I sell. When I share the struggle with other people, I'm letting them know that, like me, their worth is not tied to the changing circumstances of this world. Their worth and your worth is tied to Christ's unconditional love for them. This offers a hope that transcends the hopelessness of this fallen, changing world. Now, Keller says that we should start with these first four tips. Right? And that we should use them as a way to kind of gauge people's interests, right? And I think it's kind of like fishing, right? Anybody been fishing here? There's a little hook and you put the bait on the hook and you throw it out there, right? We all have conversations and interactions with people all the time, every day of our lives, right? And it doesn't take much for us just to mention, church this weekend, you know, I'm a Christian. Oh, you've got a problem. People will come up to you. This is going on. My wife has cancer. Hey, do you mind if I pray for you? Use that as a way to gauge people's interests. But we need to be intentional about this. And we need to, as we put this bait out there, watch how people respond to it. We also need to remember that without the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. So we need to pray and ask God for his help. Keller says that as people show signs of interest to these first four steps, that we can move on to the next steps. And he lists this next step as a fifth. We can give them a book to read. There are a ton of good Christian books out there, and they cover every topic under the sun. Chances are, if a person is expressing some interest in what you've already been talking about, that they have some kind of further questions. Don't be afraid to give them a book that has the answers that they're looking for. Sixth, share your story. All of us have lives that have been renewed and transformed by the power of Christ. Share this with people. Let them know who you were. Let them know who you are now. Don't be afraid to share your struggles and your failures. And above all, let them know what Christ has done in and what he's doing through you. I can't tell you how many times I've had an interaction and I'm talking to somebody and I say, look, this is not a coincidence, right? The fact that we're here is because God's in control of everything and he's orchestrated this so that we could have this conversation. Seventh, answer any questions and objections they have, right? Any questions and objections? Charlie, there's a lot in the Bible. I don't read the Bible enough. I don't know the answers to these questions, right? You don't need to know everything. And you don't need to answer all the questions at once. God is with you. If you come across a question that you don't have the answer to, be honest. Take it as an opportunity to dive deeper into God's Word and to learn. Remember that we are finite, dependent creatures. And remember that God is the infinite and independent creator of everyone and everything. There's going to be some questions that we don't have the answers to. Questions like, how does the Trinity work? Or how is God sovereign and man still responsible? I don't know is a perfectly good answer to questions like that. If we had all the answers, we would be God. But we're not. Simple, right? Finally, if a person continues to express interest at this second step, go on to the final step, 8 through 10. He says, 8, invite them to a church event. And it doesn't matter which one. Just invite them. We have several small groups, Sunday school, going on throughout the year. A couple of years ago, Kevin invited a guy named John Boy Bacon to our Tuesday night men's group. John Boy wasn't a Christian. I think he would actually say that he was an agnostic or... Yeah, maybe he was an atheist. I think you'd say he was an agnostic, though. But he came to our group, and he read the Bible, and he studied with us for a good while. And then he disappeared. And then he showed up, 6 months, a year later, he showed back up, and he had cancer. And we prayed for this guy. I'll never forget that night. And we prayed for him, and we shared the gospel with him. And I don't know if he ever accepted the gospel because he died a couple weeks later, suddenly in his sleep. He was gone. 9th, offer to read the Bible with them. If they accept, I would recommend you start with one of the gospels. And as you read the Bible with them, ask him to take notes. Ask him to mark down any questions that they have. We probably should be doing that as well. Any questions that we have that come up as we read the Bible. Hey, what's this mean? And you can go ask Todd. Todd, what's this mean? 10th, Keller says to take them to an explorer course, which is like a class for new believers, We don't really have that class here, so what I would recommend you do is just bring them to the church. Anything that we got going on here where you can get where they can ask those questions amongst other believers. So that's it. 10 simple tips for evangelism. Keller does make a couple final points here that I think are interesting. He says that some people will go right to step 10, and that some people will stay with step or tips 1 through 4 for a while. He says some people will bounce around, so 1 and 5 and 4 and 3, all over the place. And in my own experience, a lot of people have expressed interest or these tips have presented themselves at various stages, and then they've gone out of my life, and I don't know what happens to them, or I do, and they pass away. It's kind of sobering when I was working on this, but what's important with all these tips is that we look to God in faith, that we pray to Him, that we ask Him to use us for His glory, and that we ask Him to lead people to us that we can minister to. Remember, when we think about evangelism, don't be afraid. All we need to do is go out at night, look up at the stars, and remember God's promise to Abraham. So, in closing, we've taken a look at God's interaction with Abraham's fear, and we have seen how He confronts Abraham's fear both verbally and with the picture, the illustration of the night sky. And we have seen how a deeper knowledge of God's greater plan can help us to fight our fears. We've seen that the innumerable children that God promises to Abraham are the same people that the Holy Spirit brings to Christ through our sharing the gospel. Finally, we've looked at Keller's 10 tips, or 10 simple tips for evangelism. Now, before I close in prayer, about 2 months ago, we were sitting in Sunday school, and Sandy was mentioning, and I'm sad to see that she's not here today. She was mentioning how she had had this really great interaction with this girl at a gas station. I think it was a gas station, right? And how she wished at the end of the conversation that she had something to give her. So we talked with the session and we went out. I don't know if we had these around or not. But we went out and we have these large print. It's still pretty small print. Even though it says large print right on the cover. We got these large print New Testaments, and they're in the back right behind Tom. Hi, Tom. Grab one of these. Grab a couple of these. Keep them in your car. Keep them, one in your purse. I didn't realize it's kind of big to put in your purse. Be ready. Be prepared. Have these on you. Pray to God for Him to bring people into your life. Let's go to God now and pray that He brings people our way. Father God, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for this message. We thank You that You're with us as we seek to share our faith, who You are with the world, Lord. We ask that You would be even now preparing people's hearts. We ask that You would give us the words to say, that these 10 simple tips for evangelism would be integrated into our lives, Lord. We praise You and we thank You for Christ. And we pray that You would just bless us and that You would increase Your glory through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one last thing I wanted to mention also, when I was going over this with Becca, she said to me, hey, you know what? I'm having a hard time with these tips. Like, there's 10 of them, you know, is it just me? Or, So what I went ahead and did was I printed out a couple copies of these, and it's just the 10 tips, right? So if you want to take them and you didn't write them down, they're in the back by those pocket New Testaments. So grab one of these and think about it, because it's really, really simple. I don't know what else to